Hey, you want that to go?
Hey, good morning. Todd Zwillick here, filling in for Celeste, and I'm joining John, of course. Time for some takeouts on the stories that we're following this morning. First up...
The most precious thing in the world is the financial security and well-being of your family. Know that you've left them with peace of mind. Nowadays, we all know that cash rules everything around us. Cream, get the money, dollar dollar bill, y'all.
That would probably be a little risky to invest with Wu-Tang Financial.
Dave Chappelle's hedge fund, yes.
Yeah, that's right, on Comedy Central. I think the Riz's financial advice there, John, was diversify your bonds. I think that was the extent of financial advice from Wu-Tang Financial, if I recall. But Dollar bill, y'all. There's a financial diversification of a different sort going on in the real world of Wall Street. And Louis Story, Wall Street and Finance reporter from our partner, The New York Times, is here to tell us about it. Louise, apparently state and federal governments are taking very different approaches than private companies in how they're investing, right? They're not taking the Riz's advice.
Right, Todd. It's very interesting. Companies, by and large, have been pulling their pension plans for their workers out of the stock market, saying, you know, the stock market's not safe enough. Think of these huge swings we've all seen in the stock market. And so they're getting safer and they're going more into corporate bonds where it doesn't really matter what the prices do because they'll hold them to maturity and just get the interest rate payments. So companies are getting safer with the pension plans for their workers. States, on the other hand, are going into far riskier things. They're going into derivatives. They're going into hedge funds. They're increasing their stock holdings. They're looking to all kinds of creative leveraged investments because they don't have enough money in their pension. And, you know, as one person put it in an article we have today in the New York Times, in effect, they're going to Las Vegas.
Oh, so these are government employees, pension funds.
That's right.
Trying to play catch up in the market.
That's right. Well, see, the problem is these numbers are striking. The problem is that they're assuming in their formulas that they're going to make 8% every year in their investments. And in those assumptions, they're assuming 9.5% annual return on their stocks. Now, just think for a minute. We keep talking about passing 10,000 on this show. You know, you pass it, you go under it, you pass it, you go under it. Remember, the first time that happened was in 99. The stock market is not yielding 9.5% year after year. In fact, public pension plans investments have only been yielding 3% a year. So it's leading to a big shortfall.
And it sounds like states are almost assuming Madoff levels of return from these hedge funds and derivatives. Louise, who is the greater symbol of stability here? If private corporations are pulling out of the stock market and states are staying in, what's the ripple effect on confidence for everybody else? Like, who do they follow here?
Well, the thing about the state pension funds is that their shortfalls are kind of hidden. One thing that's very interesting, Colorado is one of the very few states to tell us that if they lowered their return assumptions, how much their shortfall would grow. So, for instance, they've said publicly they're assuming an 8.5% return, and that gives them a $17.9 billion shortfall. But they say if they lower that assumption only a half percent, then the shortfall goes from $17.9 billion to $21 billion. So they're showing us just a half percent would jump it, but most states keep it very hidden, you know, and they're doing these creative things. North Carolina just passed a rule that will let them get into commodities. Wisconsin's getting into derivatives. And, you know, California, we've heard a lot because CalPERS, their pension fund out there, has been very aggressive getting into private equity investments, which lost them a lot of money.
All right. States in financial dire straits trying to find new ways to make money in the market, and they might consider taking the advice of Wu-Tang Financial, their Louise Story reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Thank you.
That might be a conservative option based on what Louise is saying there. Now for our sports takeout with Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen. We've been doing a lot of L.A. coverage over the past few days. There was the run-up to the Oscars, the Oscar winners, the Oscar parties. Ibrahim, you have a nomination of your own. It's not best drama. It's most drama. And the winner there in L.A.?
The winner is the Los Angeles Lakers. Yeah. And some might think, well, the Lakers are primed to win their next NBA championship in a row. They won last year.
They're a machine, not a soap opera.
They're a machine. They're the most talented team. Their coach is the Zen master, Phil Jackson. But there's also there's something bubbling underneath the surface. And it started to appear this year with Kobe's injuries. He hurt his index finger, and he started to play, his level of play diminished slightly. But there's been also this backstory with Lamar Odom, who's been on a reality TV show with Khloe Kardashian. He's not playing.
He's married into the Kardashian.
He married into
empire,
into
whatever
the
you
empire,
want to call
exactly.
It. Yeah.
And his numbers have diminished, and he's also not as focused on the court, and you can see it. And the Lakers won last year because they had incredible bench play. And when you have guys like Sasha Vujacic, who's also has this high-profile romance with Maria Sharapova, who's not playing the best tennis in the world, even though she's one of the higher, you know, she's been touted as one of the better tennis players. I think they're just a distracted team, and that's playing out on the court.
Well, let's get back to Odom in just a moment. But you've got you've got the Sasha who's dating Maria Sharapova. You've got Ron Artest, who's acting out, reminding me a little bit of the Dennis Rodman.
Correct. He's doing his own Dennis Rodman impression, and I think he was itching to go to LA from Houston last year, and you wonder why. What did he want to do? But you know, I like Ron Artest. I like his game. I like his style. But he does want to win a championship. He took a pay cut, but it doesn't seem like he's playing with that same kind of with that focus and that drive that he has when he's the man on the team.
It's got to be hard for the Lakers, though. I mean, they win constantly. They're perennially a dynasty. They've got Phil Jackson. I mean, it must be hard for them. Spring comes around and they go, oh, here we go, playoffs again. We got to win.
We got to go win, exactly. And you know, for guys like Lamar Odom, Kobe Bryant, Gasol, you're right. They're primed to win another championship. I just don't know if they have exactly what it takes to do it this year.
Well, you have a personal connection with Lamar Odom. How would he get it up, get his sort of focus back for a moment like this?
I think he just has to remember where he came from. He's a hardworking guy, and he has to remember that focus, that drive that got him to this point.
So think NBA, not Kardashian. NBA, not Kardashian.
Exactly. There we go.
Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, thanks so much. Coming up with the Oscars this weekend, all eyes are on Hollywood. There are some states trying to create their own Tinseltown. How offering state tax credits for filmmakers is creating all kinds of controversy. Does it pay? We'll find out in a few minutes.